Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In order to be able to appreciate anything, we need light. In the absence of light, $100 note is nothing more than a scrap of paper. In the absence of light, we cannot differentiate coal from gold. Say a person has a brick of gold, maybe one brick will be 2 kilos, right? And he has this masjid filled with coal. I say, is there any comparison? He's just got one brick of gold and the masjid filled with coal. This is an example. But I say, is there any comparison? No comparison. So, the difference was brought about with the presence of light. Light enabled you to see that in perspective. The coal in perspective and the gold in perspective. Now, what's happened in this age, Allah protect us all, that we have got the physical eyes, physical light we've got. And because of the physical light, we can identify with material. We identify with physical. We identify with things that are tangible. But things that are related to the hereafter, qabr, and beyond the qabr, we don't identify. Do not say we don't identify entirely, but we don't identify as we ought to identify. The same message is being carried in this verse, اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِي. The way you're supposed to identify, are you identifying? So, if we learn to identify the hereafter, then we'll be able to see it in perspective. And when we see it in perspective, then we'll work accordingly. But if we didn't learn or didn't want to learn to see beyond this life, then we'll be just running after this. So we see it, we identify, or he's pulled out a Lexus, 2022 model, he's got it already. Just look. And our eyes just pop out. When we see it, can I sit on it? Can I sit in it? Can I have a spin round the block? Can I drive? Right. Then someone pulls out a Jaguar, then you're afraid the person may not just get a shock. Jaguar, top of the range, fully fitted, full house. Look at the mags, look at whatever. But then if he pulled out, after the Jag, he pulled out a Rolls Royce. Not an old model, new model, top of the range. Just came out. Then you're afraid he may just get a heart attack. Because he's relating to these things. He identifies with this. His breath stops for the moment. He relates, he understands, he values the thing. You tell the person, come to the masjid, this is a sawab you get, but sawab is multiplied 27 times. We heard this thing now. Something new. So that means that the light of the eyes is switched on, but the lights of the heart has switched off. Right. And the need now is to switch on the light of the heart. And when the light of the heart is switched on, then that enables you to see things in perspective. So the light of the heart has switched off. Now, to make us understand that, right, the hereafter. See, someone has got a small problem, right? The problem is got, the customer is owing him, say, 5,000 and not paying him, right? We've got one problem. The customer is owing 5,000 and not paying, delaying, right? But simultaneously, right, just an example, right, don't do this, please. Simultaneously, Allah Ta'ala forbid, you see one girl, you know. But she's got the beauty, like as a hoor, like, you know. The hair, the complexion, the figure, the trigger, everything she's got. Contours, everything, you know, you up to scratch. You can't find a fault with her. So it's so beautiful, she'll make an old man young. So beautiful. I ask you, you saw that for that moment, won't this make you forget the problem that you got? You'll get so consumed in that, and if, say for that moment, she just, from a lot of people were there, she just smirked at you. How will you feel it? That moment, I tell you, even if you had a 50 million, that's, hey, forget this thing, man. Forget the 50 million then. Just that smirk, and she looked at you, and what a thing she was, right? So the reason is that the light of the eye switched on, but the light of the heart hasn't switched on yet. If this thing can consume you so much, then if the light of the hereafter, the light of the heart switched on, then everything is scratch, everything is scrap. Not only scratch, but it's scrap. So in the past, this is what used to happen. They used to relate and they used to identify with the hereafter. So in the thick of battle, imagine now, person is running into the lion's den, right? He knows he's not going to be for anymore. But nothing is stopping him. He wants to go into it, right into the thick of it. And he's saying, announcing, hey, he's got a smile on the face. Don't want to reverse. Fustu wa Rabbil Ka'aba. So you ask yourself, what prompted him to do this? Is the light of the heart was switched on. When the light of the heart was switched on, nothing stopped him. Now when he's comparing that to the present, you see, this is a scrap, man. This is filth. This is real. What I was in. Now if Allah offers him, you want to go back and restore your health. Hey, Allah, please, man, I don't want this thing now. Enough is enough. I want to see forward. One friend explained, just one glimpse into the hereafter, what happens to you? Just one single glimpse. That he was lowering his cousin's body into the grave. He said, Wallah, I got a fragrance. Right? The fragrance was so captivating that he wasn't afraid of the people around, or they just lied with him. Just to enjoy the fragrance. One glimpse into the hereafter. And what it does to the person, just one glimpse. Now, the root of the problem is, where's the root? The root of the problem is that this light is switched on, the light of the eye is switched on, and the light of the heart has switched off. When the light of the heart has switched off, so the actual cure is to switch on this light, to get this light switched on. One person saw on Buzrug in the dream now recently, right? So Buzrug is saying that I can see a lot of goods are coming across, a lot of sawab are coming across, but it's all dark, there's no light. So there's something significant that is missing. Something really significant that is missing, that is coming across, but it's all very dark. So what's that missing element? This missing element is the heart. And the light of the heart has switched off. Now, the question is then, how do we switch on that light? So there must be a place where you can switch on the light. Like you want to switch on these lights here, and you're not getting a connection, there must be a place that you will refer to get the connection, to get the light switched on, isn't it? If you try and shout and slogans and protest and march and all that, will you get the switch? Will you get the light connection? So you need that connection now. Where and how do you get the connection? So Allah Ta'ala says two things He shows you, and how you will reconnect. So He's in this ayat of Nur, says fi buyutin adin Allah. So this light is found in homes, right? In which homes? In homes where Allah Ta'ala has commanded that He is, that home be exalted to honor, right? It must be respected. Adin Allahu an turfa, it must be respected. Turfa got about three meanings, but we're just using one meaning now, right? So one is that home must be respected. So if you want a connection, then you connect it in the way that it's connected. You don't join this connection how you want it to be connected. So there's a way to connect it. So you want a light connection, then how Allah Ta'ala wants it. So firstly, we'll need to learn to respect these places. So these are places where Allah Ta'ala's name is taken in abundance. أَذِينَ اللَّهُ أَن تُرْفَعَ وَيُذْكَرَ فِي اسْمُ. So they are respected, and the name of Allah Ta'ala is taken in abundance. So what are these places where He's on, where these homes need to be respected? What are these homes? So you can identify about four places. One is the masjid, primary, right? Number two is like a khanqah. The name of Allah Ta'ala is also repeated there in abundance, right? Number two. Number three, a madrasa. Because from the morning till the evening, it's either Quran Sharif, Hadith, Tafsir, or something similar, right? From the morning till the evening, maktab, madrasa, this is what happens there. Number four, tablighi markaz, right? Or tablighi jama'ah, that is doing the work properly, correctly. So the whole theme is what? The remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Get the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. All right, different approaches. The tabligh is using one approach, the madrasa is using another approach, the khanqah is using a third approach, and the masjid is using a different approach. But all are going in the same direction to exalt the name of Allah Ta'ala, to exalt the house of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, to raise it to honor and respect, to take His name therein in abundance. So all are taking it to the same goal. So therefore the hadith says that when the person comes to the house of Allah Ta'ala, why I included all this, the sea has got all these places there. So that means all these places must be respected. They must be respected because the name of Allah Ta'ala is taken there in abundance. Whether it's a masjid, whether it's a madrasa, whether it's a khanqah, whether it's a tablighi markaz, but the name of Allah Ta'ala is taken there. The whole idea, the constructing of that place was for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Any other reason, any business, anything material, it was for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So it's constructed for the sake of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, then it must be elevated to honor. أَذِينَ اللَّهُ أَن تُرْفَعَ وَيُذْكَرَ فِي اسْمُ. So these places are the places where the name of Allah Ta'ala is going to be taken in abundance, is going to be raised to honor. So anything that is disrespectful or distracting from the cause must not be in the masjid. Anything that is distractful or distracting, or it's disrespectful, not in the masjid. Right. Distracting, we know, anything that is distracting, right? It's going to move you away from the theme. What's the masjid? What is it meant for? Understand what's the theme of the masjid. Remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, crying, talking to Allah Ta'ala, Quran Sharif, zikr, dua. This is the whole masjid, ta'aleem, giving a good bayan, right? About Allah Ta'ala, His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is what the masjid was all for. So anything that is going to be distracting from this, then keep the masjid away from this. Keep it away. Don't bring it in the masjid. So anything that is distracting and anything that is disrespectful. So things of respect, things that are going to bring you nearer to Allah Ta'ala, bring that in the masjid. Remembrance, zikr, Quran Sharif, namaz. This is what the whole masjid is about, right? The madrasa the same, the khanqah the same, the markaz the same. It's all for the same reason. So anything that's going to distract you from this, just move it away. So a lot of things now is all people that have dini understanding, so I don't have to go into the details, but just to make you understand, right, things that will distract you, like shouting, talking, right, things that are not related to the functioning of the masjid, talk about that, right? Right. Or arguing, right, doing something that will disrupt the peace of the masjid, whether it's in the masjid or in the precincts of the masjid. One is in the masjid, one is in the precincts of the masjid, but it's distracting. Someone is smoking right outside here, he's going to smoke, and obviously the smell is going to come through, right? Or if he's going to smoke and come through, then if he didn't wash himself very, very well, not well, very, very well, obviously someone else is going to get affected. The malaika get affected when there's dirt and filth in the masjid. The malaika also get affected. The whole essence of the masjid, the spirit or the soul of the masjid, it shrinks up. Something dirty, distracting, not supposed to be bringing it around the masjid. Outside. If you have to, outside, clean yourself thoroughly, that nobody is really affected. Nobody feels hurt. So if you want that light, then the masjid, give the masjid its respect. Then the masjid will give you that light. But you don't give the masjid that respect and you want that light, like you want that current to flow through, but you're not connecting it rightly. Then how are you going to get the connection? So you want it, then show the masjid the respect that it deserves. So anything that is distracting, sound, shouting, talking, business, or crossing in front of a musalli, or when lining up and you're squeezing yourself, or you want to reserve a place for yourself in the masjid, fighting for that spot, I must have that spot. So anything that is going to be distracting the cause of the masjid, anything that's going to be distracting to the cause. Now someone, and I'm teaching this hadith in the class, so I can see now the students are looking at me, so they're asking, but why you got your place reserved in the masjid? So me also, I'm not supposed to having a reserved place, but fortunately or unfortunately, my work is to see to the nizam, to see to the administration, right? And if I have to see to the nizam, I have to be looking around, watching, seeing, going this side, that side, the classrooms, etc. I need to see so that the nizam of the masjid, the administration of the masjid goes right. Now if I want to remain here and I don't see all these things here, is that going to go right? Not going to go right. So I have to do it. Therefore, you will not see me in the top masjid doing the same thing. There, wherever I find a space, I'll go and sit down there. But here now, that fortunately or unfortunately, it's my duty, part of my duty, right? And it's part of my duty, then I have to keep a place. Right? Otherwise, I can't manage the both simultaneously. How could I manage the both simultaneously? So these type of things have to be mentioned nowadays, because minds are wahmi, right? Minds are very suspicious. Everybody's suspicious. You know, don't take me for a scrap or something, right? I know I'm sharp. I can understand. So everybody is sharp. But then you're doing all these type of things and you're destroying the glitter of the heart. You know, create suspicions, etc. Istanibu kathira min zani. You don't know why that person is doing it. And you got suspicions about him. So I ask you, is the glitter of the heart going to be improving or deteriorating? Alright, you had some suspicions about the person, but was it to his detriment or your detriment? It's your own. Because his stupidity, you don't like the person, then don't do something to improve his lot. You're doing something to improve his lot and destroy yourself. Well, where's the good? Is there any good in that? Having suspicions, etc. Last week, one person passed away in Ladysmith. He's from Ladysmith, from Imran Karwa, right? So one of his friends in the madrasa, finally, she's talking to me about him. She says that his friend, this imam that passed away, his friend had seen a dream, right? Now someone will say, now don't talk of dreams. But everybody talks about the media, that kuffar, that atheist, that Satanist, that gay, he can give a report and he'll talk about it. But if a Muslim is having a dream, a good dream, say, don't talk about it, it's not a dream, please. But you see the comparison. If it's a good person, he's alright, there's no reason for him to make up and fake up a dream. What's wrong in relating it? Yes, if he's making up and faking up, it's a different thing. But now, look at the whole, just contrast it. The kafir is giving a news, that you must take it now. See, this kafir is saying. And kafir is saying, oh, there's going to be looting. So believe it. And the poor man, Monday morning, you must believe it. But this is a Muslim, he's righteous. Apparently, we don't see anything wrong in him. But no, it's a dream, we don't talk about dreams. But kafir, listen to him. Atheist, gay, lay, listen to that, right? See how your mind goes. It capsizes. You can't reason rightly. So anyway, this person saw that Rasulullah Paksasam is coming to receive this person, coming to take him. He's showing the essence of the dream, right? Alright. So he snoozes off again. Again he sees the same thing. Rasulullah has come to receive this person. Again he snoozes off. Again he sees for the third time. Same thing he's seeing. So now they became anxious that this man has got something that we don't know of. That one person is seeing him, that Rasulullah has come to receive the person three times. So now this person knows him personally. So he says, no, I know him personally. Must be around 50 or something, so I know him. And I know his past and I know his present. Past is a little bit rough. And then he corrected himself, right? Then he had some taluk with Hazrat Yunus Sahib Rahmatullahi until he passed away. Then with Hazrat Ansar Sahib Rahmatullahi. And then with Hazrat Dawud Sidat Sahib, right? But there was about five things in this person. There was something to be proud of, you know, something to be envious of. I won't say proud, to be envious of. So because this is his personal friend, so he knows the whole story, he says. He says he had a lot of love and respect for ulama ikram, Buzugana Deen, he was doing for Deen, extreme love and respect. He said, I know him personally, and I can vouch for it. Right. Extreme love. He says he should be doing things for people, and they don't even know that he's doing. Just because of love for Deen, he's doing. Someone studying Deen or something like that. And he's doing things. Nobody knows about it. Some persons will come here and tell me, you know, I'm going through a financial loss. But you know, I put up the masjid there, you know, that masjid, I put it up. So he's as though telling me, that why Allah Pak is bringing this upon me when I built up his house there. And I asked the person, why, when you have got children, you're taking care of your children, right? You got children, you're taking care of the children. Then do you brag about, you know, I spent so much on the children, I took them for Hajj, I did this. Do you brag about it? That I give them the food and all that, it cost me. You talk about it. But if you help out your parents and say, no, you know, I took my parents for Hajj. I see to the food. But I see how the mind works in reverse. The reason is we listen to all these trivial nonsense things. But what we're supposed to be listening to, we don't listen to. We're supposed to be thinking about, we don't think about. So our mind works in reverse. This we'll brag about. But I ask you, your own child, when you spent upon him, do you talk about it? And this, why do you talk about it? That means you feel to yourself that me, you know, it's me that is doing for that person. Me, I am doing this thing. To your father, you talk about it. Your child, you don't talk about it. Why? So he says, the first thing, a lot of respect, a lot of muhabbat for ulama ikram, Buzugana Deen, etc. The second thing that we saw was noticeable in him, this person is also from Lady Smith, so he knows the person personally. He's a multi-millionaire, not ordinary person, he's a multi-millionaire. So many shops he's got and thriving, really thriving businesses. And then he says, with all that business, the second thing is, he never takes 1 cent of interest. Although there are great, great opportunities coming his way, but 1 cent of uncontamination, 1 cent, not prepared to take it. So his friends are telling, but how you do business, how do you survive when you don't take anything, you know, to pay or give or something, to receive or to pay, but how do you, you know, I trust Allah will make it happen. He says, the trust is such that no Muslims come in front, say, well, I take this here, payable when able, 5 years, 10 years, paid whenever you want. But you see, he became so wealthy, right? And when Allah Ta'ala wants to give, he'll get these people here to come and support you and to help you. Your trust is with Allah Ta'ala, your key is Allah Ta'ala, He'll make it happen. Why must we feel that we are doing it and I am doing it, it's my business, my acumen, my intelligence? Why must we think like that? So he's got so much, he's giving so much, but this is his yaqeen, this is his understanding, not 1 cent of interest. I don't want to take, I don't want to receive. That's the end of the story. The third thing he says, his yaqeen Allah Ta'ala, this is what I would like to speak a little bit on, you know, emphasize. His yaqeen Allah Ta'ala was true great. Since last year, around this time here, his brother passed away. His brother, this was Imran, his brother was Bashir. I think it was his elder brother. So he passed away last year. And everybody is fighting him, you know. You don't go, you'll catch it just now, you'll get it, and whatever. Quarantine, isolation, you know. My yaqeen now, alhamdulillah, is better than ever. That Allah Pak wills, I die. Allah Pak wills, I live. Bhai, the point is not how long you lived. The point to make is that how well you crossed the bridge to death. How well you crossed the bridge of life to death. That's the point to see. Now we are seeing everybody's frightening people. Hey, don't do this, don't do this. Look at the pious, they're looking forward to the ride. And we are looking forward to go reverse. And the pious of the past, they're looking forward to the ride. See that Sahabi saying, Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba. I'm just anxious to go across. And now we are anxious to go reverse that side. The whole world is talking like that. Professional people are talking like that. Hey, watch out, don't go there, it's death. And their life was, we are looking forward to the ride. Al Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he's got some virus or whatever it is, he's looking forward to the ride. He's looking at it, don't let this thing go, man. This must take me across. I already got the passport now, Allah, ticket is there now, I must just go across. He doesn't want to reverse the whole thing. See, when that light of the heart is switched on, then you see things in perspective. But as long as that light of the heart is not switched on, then everything seems dark. So the light of the eye is switched on, so we can evaluate, value things of this world here. The Lexus A. You don't play with motor, he's got a Lexus, eh? And he got a Jaguar. Brand new, man. 2022 model he got. So, we evaluate, we only relate to things that we can see, what we can perceive, right? Right? What we perceive, we relate to. Because we switched off the light of the heart, therefore we cannot perceive the hereafter. Therefore, this is not a struggle. It's just, by the way, you know, I go for a namaz, you know, like 5 times namaz. So, that's how we talk about it. But as your eyes to the hereafter opened out, are you evaluating things how you're supposed to be evaluating? If there's darkness, then why? You can see the things here, you can see the excitement, etc. here. But can you see and enjoy the things of the hereafter? Can you appreciate that? Can you value that? So if there's no value at all, no evaluation at all, then there's something right, something wrong here. This is not right. The smoothness of life is in proportion to the smoothness of the heart. As good as your heart is the goodness of life, is the relation to the hereafter. Your relation to the hereafter is as goodness, as in proportion to the goodness of your heart. Heart is very good. Yaqeen is there. Iman is there. So, the relationship to the hereafter will be good. So this man is saying, alhamdulillah, now I have total conviction that it is only Allah Ta'ala that can give life and take away life. I don't need to wear this mask and distancing and all, leave all these things here. I don't need to be worried about it. See, that yaqeen grows. That is why we hear about the story of Dajjal, right? And at the last end, when he'll lose all his strength, right? Before that he'll be able to bring up people to alive, cause the clouds to rain, cause the grounds to grow, you know. So all these things will happen. But he'll reach a point where he'll lose all these things. He'll lose all these things in the face of the person who's got yaqeen. Just look at the hadith. He'll slip the person into two, and he'll ask his people, do you believe that I am the Rabb? He said, no, why must we have any doubt? But ask that person there, does he believe that I split him, that I joined him and brought him to back to life? Ask him, does he believe that I am the Rabb? And he'll laugh and come up and say, now I'm convinced that you are Dajjal. So what was it you were talking in his yaqeen? His yaqeen was such. Although you're not a popular person, not a person that's well known, but his yaqeen had reached to that level, man split him and put him together, he said, I'm 100% convinced that you are Dajjal. You are the person that Rasulullah has spoken about. So I understand you as a kafir. He split him into two and brought him back. See, when the light of the hereafter opens, switched on, then you don't believe the news, you don't believe the media, you don't believe that whether it is a camouflage or it's a front or it's manipulation, you don't believe in this thing. But when the switch of the heart has switched on, then everything of the world becomes dark. The things of the world becomes dark. But if this light has gone off, it's got switched off, then the hereafter becomes dark. We can't see, we can't perceive, we can't relate. Why? Because this light has gone, has switched off, has gone off, has become dumb, dull and dumb. So the need now is to get this light on. Until and unless we don't get this light on, you're wasting your time. I tell you really, talking a little bit straight, until you don't get this light switched on, you're wasting your time. The need of the time, more than anything else, tell me any problem, but more than anything else, is switch on this light here. Then only will you be able to relate to the hereafter. So this man is saying, this is the second thing, his yaqeen was too strong. We are, this boy in the last year, says that we are ulama, etc. But his yaqeen is at a different level. Ordinary businessman, you look at him, ordinary, simple person, but look at the level of the yaqeen. He also had the same virus thing, and he was taken to hospital, and passed him, all that happened. But now, I say, the beauty is not how long you lived, how well you crossed over. See, what we are thinking about now, the whole fikr is how well we live, how long we live. And the beauty is how well you crossed over. That even if you lived 100, over 100, but you had a bad ending, is it worth the while? It's worth the while that you crossed well. So that's the concern, that's the fikr, that must be the overwhelming thing in your heart, that I cross right. The third thing he says, that this person never engaged in ghibat. Never engaged in ghibat, no matter what. But this is a common trait I notice with a lot of people that have good endings. No ghibat whatsoever. You can't listen to that. No ghibat whatsoever. The moment there's ghibat, they just get up and move away. But this I noticed this was like a common trait in most people that died well. This was a common trait. No ghibat. But now he overtook us also. No ghibat. And number two is no malice also. No ghibat at all, and no malicious feeling. No matter what, who did it, whatever happened, but no malicious feelings. Right? And the last thing I already mentioned was no interest. Right? So he had these five things. His yaqeen was right. No malice, no ghibat, no interest. Right? And a lot of love and respect for ulama ikram. Although he wasn't an alim, but he loved that. You know, that association. He accompanied Ansar to India, etc. Or to Hajj, or Umrah, whatever it was. But all this he had in his place. But then, how well he crossed, that's the thing to envy about. Now he crossed well because of some deeds. Allah liked it. So Rasulullah has come to receive him. So he didn't have to be an alim. Like Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say, he says, it's not a faraz to be, for everybody to become an alim, mufti sahab, and Shaykhul Hadith, and Hafiz. No. But definitely it is faraz for everybody to become muttaqi. You see this switching on the light of the heart. One doctor friend, I don't mean to run down ulama, and I don't mean not to show the respect of ilm. That's a different thing. But I wish to show today, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, that to pass in the hereafter, then there is a different requirement. The requirement is taqwa. It's not just that book knowledge. No. It's not just the book knowledge. One student is teaching, learned from hadith by Mulli Zakaria Sahib. He said, oh, I understood the hadith, but I don't understand this. What do you understand? He said, no, the hadith says that the best is the best alim, you know, alim that is right. That's the best. And the worst is the worst alim. The best alim, the good alim, is the best person walking the surface of the earth. And the worst person is the worst alim. So now, how does it happen? I understood the meaning, says to me. But I didn't understand now what's the wisdom in it, how it relates. So I explained to you, see, every Muslim wants right direction, right? What you want? The right direction. The direction must take you to Jannah, right? That's the ultimate dream of every Muslim, that I want the direction that will take me smoothly to Jannah, right? Right. But in order to get to Jannah, we need to know how to get to Jannah. So the one that alim that is guided right, he will take you smoothly across to Jannah, won't he? Right. Because you need to know the road that will take you to Jannah. So if that alim is right, he can guide you right. But if he's wrong, then if he's right, then he'll take you smoothly to Jannah. So I ask you, is there anything greater than that? Someone can hold your hand and usher you to Jannah. Anything greater? But if the man is wrong, he's upset, he's got some ulterior motives, right? Then he'll hold your hand and take you to Jahannam. If he's wrong, he takes you that side. He's right, he can take you. So he's the best if he's right, he's the worst if he's wrong. So the importance of holding on to the right person. So this man had it. He had the right persons, and right till the end he maintained this. He didn't shirk, he didn't move away. Right till the end. So that's why I say the criterion is not how long and how well you lived, it is how well you crossed. We ask for ease. Never give us an easy life. Matters mustn't become complicated and difficult for us. Then we'll ask for. But the whole concern, the primary concern, is the crossover, the transition must be done, and must be done with beauty, with ease. That's the whole concern. We're talking about doctor, and so I say I don't mean to undermine any alim or any buzuru. But what I want to show you, the statement of Hazrat Rahmatullah, how profound it is, that the greater thing is taqwa. And what is the meaning of taqwa? Taqwa is to leave out all things of doubt. Things of doubt, whether persons, places, money, wealth, etc. But it's got a doubtful element, I left it out. Then I don't want to risk my iman. Although I see the number, I see the quantity, but I don't want to risk it. So, when there's an element of doubt, I leave it out. See, people talk, a lot of things now, because they're looting now. So someone got a little bit of wealth, you know, what about this Sastria insurance? One small inch, all. Allah just shook a little bit. It's actually insurance. We don't want to talk of the nitty-gritties, etc. But I ask you, why? You can't look for halal ways to do your things right. There are halal ways you can do. But no, this thing here, this haram things will appeal to you. The way it's advertised and the way it's marketed, that it will appeal to you. But there are halal ways to secure yourself, look after yourself. No, you won't go for it. Remember, silatullahi al-jannah. The gift of Allah Ta'ala, what He's selling to you is jannah. Silatullahi ghaliyat. Jannah is not scrap. It's not a scrap thing, right? For a small scrap car, you have to pay so much. For a house, you need to pay so much. For the grocery, you need to pay so much. So you think jannah is just lying there. So if you work for it, make some sacrifice, at least some initiative. Some sacrifice, some difficulty you have to go through to earn the jannah. So we're talking about this doctor, right? And this doctor is showing the changing point in his life. See, sometimes the catalyst is because of the home environment. The home environment is good. But then they reach a certain point and they have to separate the parents, etc. But the parents did them well. But now, how it works after that? This is... I know the person, one of Durban's leading surgeons in his days, right? He says that whilst I was training still. So there was a teacher that was above us, a Muslim person, so I should go and show him my gratitude and appreciation. Although I didn't need to be under him all the time. But as a token of appreciation for what he's done for me, I finished my rounds, then I would go make him salam. How are you, Dr. Saab? Any khidmat? And I would move. Now these are very great things. This is the teaching of Islam. The one that taught you whether it was dunya or deen. But as a token of appreciation, a token of love, respect, you go and show this thing here. And then how Allah Ta'ala takes you up after that. You see these little things, small things. But when Allah Ta'ala accepts someone, it's because of this. You see these qualities. These qualities that you have, compassion, love, appreciation, this is what elevates the person. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, I think so he writes, this is, see when this Hudaybiyah was taking place, and this Urwa ibn Mas'ud, right, and he was working the whole agreement, right. And you know, at one point, he says to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, if lawla yadun alayya, it was not for your ihsan upon me, I would have replied to you. So Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu told him something a little bit firm. Umsus Bazar al-Yad, right? Right. Because of the statements he made, so Abu Bakr just reprimanded him. You go and just go to your idols here. Go and suck that thing there. So he told him this, a little bit hard, right? So now, Urwa remembers that Abu Bakr did him some ihsan, some favor. And as a token, he will not reply to him. The man did the favor to me. Now, here Muslim Shafi Sahib says, Allah elevates the person because of this type of things. See, his appreciation, this deep level of appreciation. Whatever happened, he swore me, etc. But this deep level of appreciation, I can't forget it. And that's where Allah elevates the person. See, Allah accepted this arrow because of this. Because this good that is done, the favors that are done, they don't forget them, they remember them. No matter what happens, but this man was good to me, he made some ihsan to me, I can't forget it. After the whatever happened, ups and downs and whatever, hot and cold and whatever happened, but I can't forget the ihsan that he's done. So, see, Allah elevates his whole community, the Arabs, because of this type of things. The level of appreciation, not forgotten. So this doctor, it was his habit, his routine, as he finishes his rounds, he'll go and make salam, show him some respect, any khidmat, and then he leaves. So the one day, as he finishes his rounds, he's going across to greet him. So he sees the doctor, the teacher of his rounds, it's above him. He sees him in some worry, you know, worried and ghabrat state. He says, what happened, doctor sir? Can I help you? Any problem? He said, yeah, man, we operate on this patient here. We did, according to the x-ray, we don't find it. We cut the man looking for the stone, can't find it there. But the x-ray shows that he's got a stone. So now, the second lesson, he says, alright, Dr. Saab, you know, are you sure you looked into the right kidney? Man. They checked, it was on the other side. Right, they did everything, they patched him up and all that, stitched and patched, everything finished over. Now, he's recuperated, fully recuperated. So this surgeon that was working on him, he had the heart to go and tell the patient, you know, we made a mistake. We're supposed to be operating on this side. We worked on the right side. We cut you up. We stitched you and all that. And you were unconscious at the time, so you didn't know what was going on. But we have wronged. You have got all the right to sue us. And this is how you go about suing. If you want to sue, you've got all the right. And really, I will have no remorse, you know, that why you did this to me. I won't have any remorse for that. So he says, when I saw this level of consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, the honesty in him, I saw the honesty in the man, I saw the level of consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, this was the turning point in my life. See, namaz, being good, being kind, etc., etc., working for deen, etc. All this thing started at this point here. Last week also I mentioned, you know, that now all eyes will be on Islam and the Muslims. Now, when Muslims had overcome this, right? Whatever happened in Afghanistan, had overcome this. Now the eyes, people are anxious to know, oh, what is Islam about? What is Muslims about? And they see that we are identical to them. just the difference between us and them is just the garb, just the clothing. So, well, it's just a costume that you are wearing. Otherwise, you are just like me. You behave like me, you work like me, you swear, you talk, and you also run after dunya like me. So there's no difference between me and you. Now, they are anxious to see what is Islam all about. And I say, aren't we selling our Islam when we're not showing the true values? Allah Pak has given us, favored us so much with Islam, and we don't portray the right values, are we selling ourselves on it? Are we selling deen away? So it's a time where we show the right values. See how people, how they get carried away. It's a little bit of your business is right, your honesty is right, your truthfulness, your gratitude, right? And then the goodness of his teacher is, the goodness of the teacher is, he can accept the mistake from his student. The Mawtanvi Sahib Rahman says, great alim of India, he was in one dars in the Haram Sharia. The Haram Sharia is one sabak that is taking place, like how you have in Haram Sharif, someone is teaching tafsir, someone is teaching hadith, right? So this one sabak that is taking place there in Haram Sharif, and this alim of India, although he's very great and knows all these things, so alright, this is a dars that is taking place, for the benefit, let me go there. So he went for the benefit of the dars, and he found a mistake, right? A big discrepancy he saw. So he waited for the talk to end, and as the crowd was dispersing, he went and explained that Arab Sheikh, great Arab Sheikh, okay, this was the mistake and this is how it is. So the Arab thought for a moment, this is the right man. Now look at the goodness, the honest, the honesty. You see, Allah Ta'ala has given you a position to be in the Haram Sharif, not just like that. Now look at the honesty of the Sheikh. The Sheikh summons all his crowd, hey, come back. I got something very urgent to share with you. All the crowd that is dispersed is called back, all coming back. See, I taught this in this manner, I made a mistake, and this alim from India, he corrected me, and what he's saying is right. So this alim says that I thought, alright, he'll correct himself, tomorrow or the next day he'll say, okay, I slipped up here, and this is the right version. But now look at how honest and how truth and humble this person is, that he can call the crowd back, and admit his mistake, and show that what he's showing is right, what I've been showing is not right. The humility, the honesty, the goodness, the fair play, transparency. Now say, hey, I feel so embarrassed. You come and correct me in front of everybody. Little small things. You can't accept a correction. Now how do you want Islam to flourish? Now you see this person here, the correction, how he called the crowd back. And the only thing I can understand is, he felt perhaps zindagi or maut ka koi bharosa nahi. You know, you don't have any guarantee about life and death. And these people have taken the wrong end from me and gone. I'll be responsible. Hey, let me just call the whole crowd back. Tell them exactly, this is the right story. I made a mistake. And, you know, al-barakatu fil intisab. The barakat in your knowledge is when you attribute things to the right place. So I must show the people that this is the person that corrected me. See, the goodness that comes out, the refinement that comes out, the beauty that comes out. You talk about it right till the end. So the world wants to see honesty. They want to see appreciation. They want to see refined manners. They want to see all this clarity of Islam. They want to see it. Now we'll just talk about, now what has happened to us, we'll talk like big guns, you know, yeah, let's go for training. This guy, have you got shotgun and long gun and all that? So all these things we'll talk about. But the refinedness in Islam, the refinedness of a Muslim, do we talk about it? وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا أَنْتُمُ الْعَلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Just think about this verse. See, one verse of the Quran Sharif has got tons of meaning. But what is needed is, do we reflect over the meaning? Allah Ta'ala is giving a message, and the message is so comprehensive, so perfect, that the message must last right till the end. So there must be something very great in the message. So he's saying, Allah is saying, La tahinu wa la tahinu, don't get ghabrashed all that, right? Anything happens now, some hurdles will come across, right? Sometimes you're losing, sometimes you're gaining, etc. So don't lose your courage. Don't grieve also. But now, if you want to prevail, then what is the prescription for you to prevail? Wa antumul a'launa in kuntum mu'minin. You'll prevail if you are true in your faith, you are right in your faith. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't subject it to your advanced training, not to your advanced artillery, and not how well you are prepared. But if He subjects your progress is subject to how good your iman is. See this man here that passed away, his yaqeen, Allah Ta'ala does. It is the will of Allah Ta'ala that makes it happen. If Allah Ta'ala doesn't will, it can't happen. It's only with the will of Allah Ta'ala. I earn so much of wealth with the will of Allah Ta'ala, with His grace. Had He not willed, I wouldn't have got anything. If it went, it went by His will. If it came, it came by His will. He willed it, it happened. He willed it, it went away. Now we'll go and swear this person here. He looted and he fired and he did this and he did. But do we see good coming from Allah Ta'ala and good being prevented? Do we see it from the hands of Allah Ta'ala? Do we see it like that? See this. Al-Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Since we talk of Iman, right? And Akhirat. To look into the hereafter. Hazrat was given advice to a university student in Medina Munawwara. I was there in his presence. So he's, I just want to show you this point. This is, see, reflection over the hereafter. Reflection, they call it muraqaba, right? Somebody is proven from the Quran Sharif. وَلْتَنْزُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. Every person must see what he sent forth, you must see into it. What that means? That engage your mind in the thought that will link you up with Allah Ta'ala. Engage your mind that will absorb you with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. See into that. So that's where you need to see. Show me, by one place in the Quran Sharif that Allah said, see how much you earned for this month. What business you did for this day. Anywhere in the Quran Sharif, Allah said, one place. And how many court cases you won, and how many you lost, and how much you made, you went for that business to Dubai, and how much you gained there. Anyway, the Quran Sharif says, I sold this horse here, how much I made that horse. Anyway, well, don't you to run you down, right? Anyway, but Allah definitely says, وَلْتَنْزُرْ نَفْسُمْ مَا قَدَّمَتْ تِغَدْ. What you sent across, look into that. That's what you need to see. See the books are balancing or not. We'll talk about big buns, we'll talk about this thing here, this what happened in Afghanistan. But what you send across, why? How much preparation, what you send across, you look into that. Now, look at Hadisa, you know who this people whose lights, whose hearts were lit. They were looking into the hereafter all the time, 24/7 they were looking into that. So, their talks will be at a different level. When their minds are absorbed in the hereafter, so the talks will be also at a different level. Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he says, he's got a majlis carrying on. One old man comes in and he says, Meri biwi bimar hai, zara dua kijiye. Wife is sick now, Hazrat, make dua for her. So now, Hazrat at that time is so absorbed in the hereafter, so he can't relate to this world. If the relating is related to the hereafter, other dekho ni, koi jail khane se raha ho raha hai aur koi ro raha hai. Hey, what a funny thing, this strange thing. Man. Someone is getting out of prison and he's crying about it, getting out of prison. Rather, let him stay longer in prison. So isn't it working in reverse? See now, he's not joking. At that time, Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah, his heart is so soaked in the hereafter, he can't relate to this thing here. So he's seeing this as a prison. Someone is going out of prison and someone is crying here. Hey, What a strange behavior. Then he says to Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, second he says, Hazrat, wo meri roti pakati thi, dua kar le. Mar jayegi to kon roti pakayega. She used to make all my rotis, but she's going to douse what happened to my rotis then. So Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah says, Allah Ta'ala aapko isi khud gharzi se bachaya hai. The selfish attitude, Allah will protect you. You only look for your own interest. You are looking for her interest. You are looking to the interest of your stomach and your rotis. And Allah must spare her so the rotis can continue, can flow. Are you more interested in her or more interested in the rotis? So Allah Ta'ala aapko is kisam ki khud garzi se bachaye. But you see, the man is so immersed. Only that person can talk like this. Was really immersed in the hereafter. His heart is there, his mind is there, his soul is there, everything is there. So that man can talk like that. If we are talking, we're just imitating her. We're just making nakal. We're not talking at that level. This man is talking level. He's at a different level. And the man comes again. Now look at Hadith Sabra. See, it's all yaqeen. Just to inspire us, yaqeen. So he says, the third complaint, he says, اور فلاں صاحب نے وعدہ کیا کہ میرا مدینہ کا کرایہ وہ ادا کرے گا. اب وہ اپنے وعدے سے پھر رہا ہے. This person promised me that he would sponsor my ticket to Madina Munawwara. Now he's going against his promise. Make dua that he keeps to his promise. Now, man, like, you know, one of us, he said, take the money, go to Madina, give my salams also. Now, Hadith Sahib, he's talking at a different level. He says, میرے سامنے ایسی شرک کی بات نہ کرو. Don't talk to me about polytheism and shirk. وہ کہے گا تو بنے گا, وہ نہیں کرے گا تو نہیں ہوگا. In other words, your eyes is supposed to be Allah Ta'ala. If he wishes, he'll make it happen. If he doesn't will, it can't happen. You're talking to me about shirk here. What's wrong with you? You see the level that Hadith was speaking at that time. So this imaniyat. In this age, I feel today, you know, I'm feeling so convinced that the greatest need now is to get the imaniyat right and link people to the house of Allah Ta'ala. Get the imaniyat right and then link people to Allah Ta'ala's house. That's the need of the time. Because this is the distribution, this is the center of distribution of light. Fi buyutin adina Allah. Where is the light distributed? You want light, you want the power, you want light, then where is the distribution point? This is the distribution point. Fi buyutin adina Allah. Get the imaniyat right and get the people connected to the house of Allah Ta'ala. As they're listening to ta'aleem, let them repeat, this is the word of Allah Ta'ala, this is the word of Rasulullah Paksam, it's true. I believe it, I embrace it. Not just as a story, as the children are coming up a little bit, making ta'aleem, the women folk, the ladies, the children, etc. And I believe in it and I embrace it. Wholeheartedly I accept it, right? Allah Ta'ala, forgive me for my shortness, I can't do everything. Right? But I believe in it. I have no discrepancy, I've got no reservation in accepting it. I wholeheartedly accept all what you say and what's coming from your Rasulullah, I accept it wholeheartedly. I have some mistakes, Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me. Some shortcomings. So don't ever have any reservation. Why did he say this and why was it said like this? But that's not your business. That is the prerogative of Allah Ta'ala. He wills it, He decides it, and He says it. It's not your business why Allah said this. Yes, our business is what Allah Pak wants from us. Let us get into it. How much I can do, let me do it. Allah Pak Tawfiq Nasib Kareem.